Hey, good morning, B'shus Rabbi Krohn. We are on Samach Dalet Amud Beis at the top by the new Mishnah. Just a disclaimer, today there's going to be some very intense math. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible, but for anyone who's very interested in the math, there's some complex Rashis and there's some complex art scroll notes. I'm not going to go through them just because we could be here all day going through them and still not understand them. But I'll try to get to the bottom line. So starting with the Mishnah, Hamashras Ishtal Yidei Shlish. So you have someone who, the way he supports his wife is through a third party person. So in essence, the wife doesn't live with him except when they're together intimately, and therefore he provides her financial support through somebody else who administers on her behalf. Well, Yivchasla Mishnei Kabin Chitin. You don't give her less than two kav of wheat per week. Now keep that concept of two kav in your head, because two kav is the value of wheat that would give her enough bread for the week. Me'arba kavin sarim, or four kav of barley. Four kav of barley produces just as much, so that amount of barley produces just as much bread as wheat, because barley produces less than wheat does, so it's the same thing. So I'm a Rabbi Yossi. Lo pasul gasorin el Rabbi Yishmael. So no one would give out the concept of barley except for Rabbi Yishmael. Shaya samach Edom, because he was near Edom, and the Gemara will explain what that means. So that's the bread requirement. V'notin lachatzi kav kitnis, and he gives her half a kav of beans, v'chatzi log shemen, and half a log of oil, and that oil is for both for food and for lighting. The kav gragoros and a kav of dried fruit figs, or mana dvela, or a mana of pressed figs. The imain lo, and if he doesn't have these, posek lumas and peres makamach. I mean, he should give her a corresponding amount of fruits of another kind. So basically, he has to give her a certain amount of bread, a certain amount of oil, and a certain amount of fruits, whether they're figs or dates or whatever else. And he gives her a bed, a soft mat and a hard mat, meaning that it's kind of like in today's day, we typically have like a mattress that goes on top of some other under mattress type of thing. And he gives her some sort of head covering that she has to wear. And he gives her some sort of apron. And she has to give her shoes on each of the shlosh regalim, so he gives her shoes three times a year. And every year, he has to give her 50 zuz worth of new clothing. So once a year, or throughout the year, he has to give her that amount. And he doesn't give her new clothes in the summertime, because the new clothing was thicker. When they first got it, it was thicker, so therefore it wasn't comfortable to wear in the summer. The low shechaki mimosek shamim, or worn out clothing in the winter. So basically you would want to give the clothing initially in the winter when it was like full and not worn out, so to benefit from its warmth, and then by the summer it would wear down a little bit and it would be comfortable to wear in the summer as well. Ela nosla kalim shechamikshim zuz mimosek shamim. He gives her the 50 zuz of new clothing in the winter time. And she continues to wear them when they wear out, when it gets warmer in the summer. And she's able to keep them, even though she's going to get new clothing, she's going to be able to keep them, and the Gemara will explain why. He also gives her a ma'a of silver for her own needs. You might want to call it like walking around money, you know, petty cash or whatnot. And she would eat together with him every Friday night. So even though she's living apart from him and being supported, she would be together with him every Friday night. And that goes back to what we had learned earlier about the minimum amount of time for relations that they should get together on Friday night. So they would live together on Friday night. And if it doesn't work out that he doesn't give her this silver mana for her walking around money, and typically that either means that they have agreed it together or he didn't give it to her and she didn't object, she's able to keep her the whatever proceeds are of her work. Typically, any proceeds that she would have belong to him. But anything that, you know, a certain amount, because he's not, so in lieu of him giving her this amount of money, she's able to keep her money. Umahi osila, what does she have to do for him? Mishka chamish slime shesi b'Yehuda. She has to spin each week the weight of five slime of thread in Yehuda. Shehain eser slime b'Galil, which is the same amount as 10 slime in the Galil. Because I guess they had different weight systems, but in essence they were the same thing. Oh, Mishkal Eser Slime Erev Yehuda, or the weight of 10 slime of thread in. Did I say that already? V'im Ha'isameinika, but if she's nursing, if she has a baby and she's nursing, Poskin L'Amamasiya Deha, we reduce the amount of effort she has to put in. V'mosim L'Amazonasah, and you give her some more food. So you give her extra. So Bamed Dvar Memorim. So all these things we're talking about is what we're talking about. But Adi Shabi Yisrael. These are minimum requirements for someone who's very poor. Alul Mechuvad with someone who has more means. Hakol Yichvod Lufi Chvod. He should give her more according to whatever his value is. Okay, great. Mani Misnisen. So we just learned that he has to give her 2 kav of wheat per week, and that's supposed to provide her with her basic bread requirements. So Ma Misnisen. So whose opinion is this? So how do we know, basically, that these 2 kav is the right measurement? Lo Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. It's not Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Lo Rabbi Shimon. It's not Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakh, we learned in the Mishnah. V'chama shi'uro. So what is the measure of food that you have to have for an Erev Tchumim? So Erev Tchumim, if you remember, everyone has on Shabbos, you're only allowed to walk 2,000 amos outside the city. So if you know that you have to be somewhere else, what you can do is you can create an Erev Tchumim. We basically create a place with bread in that's within 2,000 amos of where you are now, and that becomes like your epicenter. So you're able to walk 2,000 amos in each direction from that epicenter. So you can go to your house 2,000 amos. You can also go further 2,000 amos from that epicenter. And what you have to put in that place is mazon shtei sudas kol echad ve'echad. You have to put enough food for 2 meals for each person who wishes to use the eruv. So therefore, so this is going to tie back that we just said that we have to give her a certain amount of meals. So we just said we're talking here about the 2 days worth of meals. So mizona lechol, and this talks about the amount of food that you would do on a weekday, velo l'Shabbos, and not the food that you would have on Shabbos. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir says. Rabbi Huda Omer l'Shabbos v'lechol. He says the opposite. It's the amount of food that you have on Shabbos and not achol. This is specifically talking about bread. Vizeh miskavim lahekel. In both cases, they're trying to be lenient. That Rabbi Meir, who says you give her the amount that you do, you put in for the heir of the amount that you do on a weekday, where he was, they would eat more bread on Shabbos than on the weekday. And the one who says you put in the amount of bread that you do on Shabbos, where he was, they would eat more bread on the weekday than they did on Shabbos, ostensibly because they had other food things. But either way, you have to put the amount of 2 meals on in the Erev, by the Erev Tchumim. Okay, and here's where it gets fun. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer, he says, Kikar halakuach, the quantity of bread that you have to do, befundan me'arba sain l'seva. It has to be the amount that's necessary for a pundion when 4 seah of grain are purchased for a sella. So this is basically defining a two-dimensional math situation of how you calculate the amount of bread. And basically, it's saying it's a volume and it's a value. So just to get to the bottom line, and you know, I encourage anyone who really wants to get into the math, you can either look at the long Rashi or you can look at note 40 in the Art Scroll. But basically, his net measurement is that half a kav, which is the equivalent of 12 eggs, half a kav gives you 2 meals. So when we say that, if half a kav gives you 2 meals, that means that a full kav gives you 4 meals, and therefore 2 kav gives you 8 meals. So we said that the requirement in the Mishnah was for him to give her 2 kav. So according to this opinion, that would imply that she should get the equivalent of 8 meals worth of bread. That is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and that doesn't seem to jibe with what we said, and we'll explain why. Okay, now Rabbi Shimon Omer, he has a different measurement. Shte yadas l'kikar mishalosh kikaras l'kav. So it's 2/3 of a loaf, which are 3 to a kav. So again, it's also a bi-dimensional measurement. And basically, he nets it to be that it comes out to be, he says, one meal works out to be, and again, feel free to look at the notes or the Rashi, one meal is 1/9 of a kav, right? And so therefore, 2 kav, right? If it's 1/9 of a kav equals one meal, 2 kav gives you 18 meals, right? So you have one opinion that basically says that 2 kikar, the 2 kikar of bread gives you 8 meals, and one opinion that would say 2 kikar of bread gives you 18 meals. Okay, now continuing, and this is just some more about Rabbi Shimon's calculation. It's not really too relevant to what we're saying here. But chetzi leves haminuna, so half of that amount is the measurement that you would use about if someone goes into a house where they have tsaras, if he's there the length of time that would take him to eat half of this amount, then he becomes tamei. And a quarter of that amount, lifsel esagavia, that if someone eats that amount of something tameh, and they're a kohen, they have to go to the mikvah before they're able to eat truma again. And an eighth of that amount, lekabel tumas ochin, is the amount of the minimum amount that food needs to be to give tuma to other food. All right, so all those three things are just kind of not essential. But bottom line is we've just learned that Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says the measurement of the 2 kavim gets you 8 meals. And Rabbi Shimon says that the measurement of the 2 kavim gets you 18 meals. Because they're for money. So whose opinion matches our Mishnah, which says 2 kav? E Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. If we want to say it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, tamnin have. He says you only get 8 meals. And we know during a week, 7 days a week, on a typical day, you're supposed to have 2 meals. You should have 14 meals a week. He's only giving you, if his measurement would only give you enough bread for 8 meals. V Rabbi Shimon, if you want to say Rabbi Shimon, Tam Nesari Havin, you have 18 meals. So again, you need 14 and you have 18. So neither measurement seems to align with what we say in our Mishnah. So Olam Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. We must be talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Look at the Amar Rav Chista, that fits in with Rav Chista said. What did he say? Seimehen shlish lechenvani. So we know that, so like we said earlier, this is a measurement of both volume and market price. So because when someone sells it in the market, they're going to add on a certain amount for their profit. So if we factor out their profit, that means there should be 1/3 that gets added on, right? So his 8 meals, if you add on 1/3, it really comes up to 12, right? So if you take out the 8, you add 1/3 to our 8, and now we get to 12. Okay, great, but there's still the 2 kav are only giving 12, and she needs 14. So how does that work? So we said that that she eats with him together on Friday night. So now we said, we talked about the concept was she eats with him Friday night, and that connects back to the original point of times of relations that they would be together on Friday night. So maybe when it says she eats with him Friday night, it's not literally talking about eating meals. That's just a euphemistic way of saying that they're going to be together. But if you want to say that, that really means that they're physically living together and therefore she's eating with them, then that might work. Elamad amar achila tashmish. But what about the person who says it's not really they're eating together, they're just getting together for physical relations? Ma'ikul and meymar. How do you resolve this? But also, tleksar havin. Okay, you add in the 1 meal. Now you're up to 13. She needs 14, right? So now she's gone from, so she started with 8. We added 1/3 to get to 12. We added 1 for Friday night. We're up to 13. She's still short a meal. Elokad de Amar Rav Chista. Maybe we want to say that this follows a different view that Rav Chista said. Say mehen lechenvani, mechsa lechenvani. Not that the marketplace guy, he doesn't have a profit of 1/3. He has a profit of 50%. So don't take it from 8 to 12. Take it and add 50. Don't take it from, what do we say? We said take it from, add a third, right? So instead of adding a third, we have to add 50%. So if we add 50%, it makes it, it brings it up even higher. But therefore, kasha the Rav Chisda ad the Rav Chisda. So how can we say that Rav Chisda says a third? The marketplace adds up a third, and the marketplace could add up a 100%, 50%, a full markup like that. Lo kasha, no, it's fine. Ha ba astra de yavit sivi, because there are two ways that it would work in the marketplace, right? In the marketplace, it would either be that when they gave you your grain, they would give it to you with wood to heat it up, or maybe not. So if they gave it to you, the wood, ha de astra de lo yavit sivi. Some places where they would give you the wood, when they gave you the wood, they had more of a markup. With places where they gave you, where they didn't give you the wood, they would give you less of a markup. So it's not a contradiction in his terms. Ihachi shistri havin. So now if we say that the two kav that the husband does, if we say that there's this much bigger markup, now we're up to 16 meals, and she only needs 14 meals. Come on, so how could that be? Maybe it's kid Rav Chidka. What did Rav Chidka say? The amar arba sudas chayev adam lecha b'shabbos, that a person has to have four meals on Shabbos. So if he has four meals on Shabbos, that means that she doesn't need, maybe she needs more meals because she has these extra two meals that are needed on Shabbos. So Gemara answers, Afilo Tamed Rabbanan. That maybe what it's talking about is that it follows that the Rabbanan, that what do they say? Dal chadal arche uparche. That she also has to have a meal that would apply to guests. So bottom line is that she typically would need 14 meals, right? We said maybe she needs 15 meals because he says you need this extra meal on Shabbos, and you get the 16 meals by adding in the one meal that's there for guests. So that's kind of the calculation. Hasha d'asislahachi. Now that you've gone through all these, all this to get to 15 meals, afilo tamo Rabbi Shimon. Maybe this also works according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was the one who said, two kav, we said one ninth of a kav is a meal. Therefore, two kav equals 18 meals. So Rabbanan dal tlas arche farche. Maybe what we say is that, give three meals for guests. So therefore, it's the same thing. So we're basically saying that she needs 15 meals between the 14 for the regular plus the extra Shabbos, and then we add in this case three meals for her to feed any guests.
So according to Rav Shimon, this whole marketplace upcharge doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist, right? Because he already went to 18 meals. Yeah. So Rav Chidka dal tarte la'archi ufrachi. So according to Rav Chidka, who says a person has to eat four meals, and therefore she needs 16 meals for herself, you have two meals for the guests. So bottom line is that the way so what we did is we said, all right, there's two. So we're trying to get to how do we say that you need two kavim? Two kavim, what does it equate to? So according to the first opinion, it was 8 meals. According to the second opinion, it was 18 meals. So we did with the first opinion, it was first we added in the markup. So when you get the markup in there, it either gets you to 12 or 16. So once you get 12 or 16, then how do you then reconcile the two together? So you either can say maybe you add one for the when she's going to be together with him Friday night. Maybe you add in a higher markup. Maybe you account for guests. But either way, they're able to reconcile to the first opinion that way. In the second opinion, they would reconcile by saying she needs 14 or 15 or 16, however you want to figure it out. She's getting 18. Whatever extra she's getting is really to feed guests. Okay, so that's the math for today. Anyone who's interested in going into it in more depth, I would encourage you to look at the Art Scroll. Art Scroll has some very good yet complicated notes, and you'll need, graph paper and all sorts of other tools to figure it out. But for now, I think, you can read those notes and go through Rashi. Okay, Amar Rav Yossi lo pasek se'orin. So we said in our Mishnah, no one gave her barley except for Rabbi Yishmael, who was near Edom. So what's the significance of that? Like, what is that? What's the benefit? Why? What does him being near Edom have to do anything with barley? Edom hu d'achman se'orim. Is it only in Edom that people eat barley? People have barley all over the world. They eat barley everywhere else. So why do we make this qualification when it comes to comes to Rabbi Yishmael that he was the only one who did barley because he was near Edom. Hachi kamar, this is what it really means. Lo pasak saorim kiflin bechitin. No one would give her. So he said, you know, you get two kavim of wheat or you get four kavim of barley. So they would only give the double amount of barley, the four kavim, by Rabbi Yishmael. Elo Rabbi Yishmael she'esamach Edom. He would do it because he was near Edom. Mipnei she'saorim Edom is raosheng. Because the barley near Edom was of poorer quality, and therefore you would need twice as much in order to get the same amount. So it's not that everywhere you would give twice as much barley, you would only do that by Rabbi Yishmael because of the quality and getting the right output as a result. Okay, v'nosu l'chatzi kav kitnis, and we give her half a kav of beans and other things. We said oil, we said figs or dates or fruits. But the Mishnah doesn't say that we give her any wine. So is that appropriate not to give her any wine? That follows the view of Rabbi Elazar, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, going to Samachay on the top. Ein poskin yenos isha. You don't give a woman a allowance of wine. So the reason would be that, you know, especially in a situation where the woman is living apart from the husband, you don't give her wine because it might lead to inappropriate behaviors. V'im tomer, if you want to quote the pasuk that says, Elcha achrei mahovai, nosi lach b'yomemi, tzamri apishti shavani v'shikuyai. I'll go after my paramours, those who give me bread and water, my wool, my linen, my oil, and my drinks. That talks that that would imply that a woman would require wine. Dvarim she'isha mishtokekes aleihem. So it uses the word shikuyai, which means drinks, it doesn't necessarily mean wine, but mishtokekes means, doesn't mean wine, but it means something a woman mishtokekes, something that a woman yearns for, not necessarily wine. In my ninu, what are we talking about? Takshitin, jewelry, or cosmetics. So it doesn't necessarily, this pasuk doesn't necessarily prove that the woman desires wine, it just says that she desires these things, and the term isn't necessarily wine, it might be other things. So Darish Rabbi Yehuda Ish Kfar Nevira. So Rabbi Yehuda of Kfar Nevira said, Armela Ish Kfar Nefor Chayil, and some say it was Rabbi Yehuda of Kfar Nefor Chayil. Minayin She'ein Poskin Yenos L'Isha. How do we know that we don't give this allowance of wine to a woman? Shene Amar V'atakam Chana Achrei Acha B'Shilav Achrei Shiso. So Chana got up from the meal after she ate and after he drank. So the way the words are using, it's after they ate and after he drank. It's a shaso, he does it in the masculine. So that means shaso v'lo shasas. That means that he drank and she didn't drink. So the Gemara question says, elam at achla v'lo achal hachinami. But then when it says she ate, does that imply that he did not eat? So, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that because the way the words are conjugated, it suggests that he ate, she ate, and he drank. Maybe is it possible that she ate and he only drank? Elamidashi krabi dibura kamrinan. We don't do this because we say that it changed the way the verbiage was being used typically. So, michde, begava ka'asik ve'atzi. That we're dealing with Chana, and when it talks about Chana, it says that she got up. So my time is Shani. What is the reason that it changed and it dealt with it dealt with her drinking? So why does it go through? What is it? Why are the words organized in such a way that it kind of changes the tense of it? Not really the tense, but changes the gender midway. Teaches Ishma Minasha Sos Filoshasa. We learn that although they both ate together, he drank and she did not drink. So bottom line is that this seems to prove that a woman doesn't get a stipend of wine. Next time we'll go into a little bit more of this, but for now we'll stop. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up Mirza Shem next week with Daf Samed Samachay.